Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. It's been a couple weeks, but we are here to usher you into another summer weekend. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Daryl Loomis.
Viva Bricanos.
That's right, the newest Albuquerque resident.
Indeed. Land of Enchantment is all me.
Land of Enchantment, yes, and Eric Astersager.
I'm here.
And that's it. You know how it's gonna roll? We're going to talk about stuff. So, Daryl, why don't you start off? It's been a while. You've been all over the place these last 2 weeks, getting your move on. So, So have you been able to settle down to watch anything, or take a little bit of R&R and feed your entertainment desires?
Not as much as I would have liked. I think it's been 10 or 12 days since I've actually sat and watched a movie, which is probably the first. That's probably the longest stretch that I've had for that in 20 plus years. I got the chance to watch a bunch of wrestling while I unpacked on the WWE Network, and basically just taking in the sights and sounds and weirdness of New Mexico, which is one of my favorite places on earth. So I'm very happy.
Hey, what are the odds that Vince McMahon gets the boot?
What do you mean by the boot?
Well, maybe not the boot, but steps down, or I don't know. I hear all this.
He's getting pretty old, so he's basically, as far as I understand, he's basically given the reins to his daughter Stephanie and her husband Triple H.
Right. What happened to his son? Didn't his son do something too?
Well, Shane was around about 10 years ago. He was around, like, jumping off stuff.
I do remember that briefly.
And that was basically what he did. But he was never really integral to the inner workings of the place.
Okay.
Of WWE, WWF at the time. He's married to Marissa Mazzola of the Mazzola Oil Company.
So he doesn't need to work, really, I'm guessing.
He doesn't care about the WWE. He cared about being on TV and having fun. Stephanie runs the joint. So while Vince is still on TV sometimes, I don't actually think he has much dealings in the inner workings anymore.
All right.
As a result, the product is better.
Okay.
Over the last year or so, it's become, the product has become much, much better. And so, so good on them. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. Albuquerque is one of the truly great places to the, even like the, so over right now over my apartment is this gigantic black cloud that is going to rain on me like crazy sometime in the next 20 or 30 minutes. From my balcony, it's clear skies. I can't see the dark cloud, but that's the funny, that's the cool thing about Albuquerque, is that there's these little spaces that rain like hell, and the rest of the place is completely clear. It's just a nutty, everything about this place is nutty, so I'm really excited to be here.
All right, very good. Well, we're excited that you're excited.
So. Yes, I'm sure.
All right, excellent. Eric, how about you in these last couple of weeks?
It's been busy. Lots of different stuff. I'll touch on a variety of media. How about that? We'll touch on. All right. We'll start with a theatrical experience. I actually went to a movie in the theater.
Very good.
And I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes a couple weeks ago. Now, have either of you guys seen it?
I have not. I haven't seen the first one. I heard things about the second one, and I'd like to get out to see it, but it just I have gotten around
and
the first one. It hasn't drawn me as much.
This is the second one, right?
This is the second one.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I rewatched.
They have no connection to Tim Burton's.
No, not even.
Yeah, I didn't.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah,
so right. You're safe. I liked Rise, the first one, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, when I saw it in the theater. It had been a while. I hadn't seen it since then. I revisited it before I watched this one, and I think it still holds up pretty well. But this one is, I think, way better. It's amazing what they can do now with the computers. Dave.
The computer,
it's spectacular. I mean, there are fully CGI characters in this that are so compelling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the apes are just spectacular.
Yeah, even that trailers looked awesome.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's sort of a second in command ape who almost steals the picture away from Andy Serkis's kind of lead ape. But
is he like dual gun wielding horse riding ape man?
That's the one. Yeah, I didn't watch any of the trailers before I saw the movie, which I think was good because there was a lot of stuff that you would have seen. I think that came as a nice surprise from watching the movie.
I just heard about him. I didn't see him. I just heard about
him. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been long enough since I've seen it now that I'm forgetting some of the specifics of why I liked it so much. But I think they do the apes so well. One of the criticisms of the movie that I've heard, I think is fairly, you know, I can see where people are coming from, is that the human characters aren't as fully rounded as the apes. And that's generally true. I think they do a pretty good job. Jason Clarke is kind of the main, I guess, protagonist human. And then you have Gary Oldman, who's he's not really an antagonist, but he's sort of a guy who's a little bit more suspicious of the apes. And they, you know, they're great. I think the apes are just so good that it's hard for anyone else to hold a candle. So I think it still holds up. I'm sure it's still in theaters. I'm glad it made a ton of money. I can't wait to see what they do next because they taking this series in a whole kind of interesting direction, and you can kind of see where they're going. So that was really cool. So I think you should. I think it's worth tracking down the first movie for sure. I think it's good. I think it kind of builds up to this next one, but I don't know if it's completely 100% necessary to see.
Yeah.
I think you could almost see this one and then treat the other one as a prequel later on if you got around to it. But
all
right. So did that and watched an on-demand movie, which I almost never do, but partly on your recommendation, partly out of other people's recommendations, we watched They Came Together.
Yes.
So great.
It's great.
What a funny movie.
Fantastic.
I love that movie. Oh, that's I can't wait till that hits, you know, Blu-ray or whatever.
That's something that has endless rewatchability, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was an Amazon rental. I think I went back that night.
24 hours, right?
Started to go back and watch it. If we didn't have kids, I'm sure I would have watched it at least one or two more times. That's when I prepared.
My favorite stuff was at the end when the steady stream of cliche people keep coming in, like her, you know, her ex-husband.
yeah, that's great.
And it was just like all these cameos, and then
it's great. Get out of here before I change my mind. I want you to change your mind. It was a movie that had me. It was such a small moment, but it's a movie that had me at the very beginning, where Paul Rudd is about to just take a drink from a glass of wine. He opens his mouth up super wide. Yeah. It was such a tiny moment, but it was like, oh, that's great. And then when he's singing to the showerhead.
That's right. So, all the little moments. Like for some reason, it's one of those movies where there's so much in there that you don't know what will really get you laughing hard, even though it seems innocuous. Like the basketball court scene.
That's great.
When Ken Marino kept shooting and missing and calling swish, I lost it. And I can't objectively say that that's funnier than anything else in that, but just those guys, like him just shooting it and just saying swish and missing it so bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so glad that movie is as good as it is because I mean, Wet Hot American Summer is awesome. I think this is as good as that.
I agree.
It's the same people.
Yeah,
same people.
Like literally, like a lot of the same faces. I mean, like Michael Ian Black's in that. Like a couple other guys that look different than from the first one, but you'll recognize. Obviously, Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd. So,
yeah.
Same director.
I was really mixed on Wet Hot American Summer, but I think I need to go back and watch it again.
If you've only seen it once, you definitely need to go back and watch it again. Because I feel like the first time I saw it, I liked it, didn't love it, and then every time I've seen it since, it's just gotten better and better.
All right, fair. I'll watch it again.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Yeah, I have no idea when They Came Together comes out in Blu-ray, but if you haven't seen it, can you still get it on Amazon? I'm guessing.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's $5 well spent.
Sure. Yeah, oh, it's spectacular. Yeah, that was great. More comedy. Weird Al's new album is out. It's very fun, and it's awesome.
It is his biggest seller to date, right?
He went
his
first?
One on the Billboard. Yep.
And he was amazing.
I
would say
it's the first comedy record to ever come out, to ever debut.
Well, you know what? He deserves so much credit.
Since the 60s, anyway.
He deserves so much credit for the way he leveraged YouTube and social media.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was really kind of, I've watched all the videos he's kind of premiered.
Yep.
And, it's just impressive on what he's been able to do. So I'm just so glad that he's still relevant.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a smart guy, not only in that kind of going directly to the fan stuff. And from what I heard, I think he actually financed all those videos himself because Sony didn't want to put any money into videos.
Oh, geez.
It's kind of crazy considering he started and became a big name because of, his Eat It video and all those, MTV videos.
Yeah.
Obviously, that landscape has changed now, whether you don't put videos at MTV anymore because there are no videos at MTV.
That's right.
But you go right to, YouTube or put it on, Funny or Die and Nervous.
Yeah, I think he partnered with the – I wonder if he College Humor premiered one, so I'm wondering like they did, you know, they co-produced a lot of that stuff with them. So
yeah, I think there was like a different website almost every day for this video. So I mean, super smart from that perspective. And then, you know, here you have this really nice guy, you know, who by all accounts seems like the greatest guy ever, who's making stuff that's still really funny and managing to find ways to, you know, parody current music and the older stuff too. I mean, I think the great thing about the album is that there's, I think it's less than half of the album are parodies of new songs, which none of which I knew beforehand. Right. And then the rest of it are like pastiches of other kinds of music. There's a Foo Fighters style song and a Pixies style song and, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash style song. And, then the songs themselves comment on the current state of music. Like there's the one that starts the album, Handy, which is a parody of Fancy, is great because it's a song where a guy is just bragging, like all songs are now, but he's bragging about being, you know, a really good contractor, which is kind of like that's actually worth bragging about. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't want to brag about how much bling I have. I want to brag about being, you know, really good at installing washer dryers.
I would say so. I'm a fan of First World Problems. I think that's
That's great. That's
and
awesome.
I just have to say that, you know, as I was thinking, I heard some people say, oh, this, you know, this isn't funny, but like some comments on YouTube or whatever. And just like he is funny, and he's not like cynical either. He's not like this kind of.
No, not at all.
I mean, all of his humor is, you know, it's clean, obviously, because he's just like, and he was such a formative experience, you know, formative influence for so many people. But he was never, like, he's never mean-spirited. I suppose that's right. You know, it's not that kind of comedy that he does. And I think that's why there's such a great response. I mean, obviously, it's just extraordinary. I mean, Word Crimes is like, incredibly clever.
Oh, so good. Yeah. I mean, and that will be that song for me forever. If I ever hear the original version, that will just sound like someone doing it, or a poor man's version of Word Crimes.
Yeah,
which is great.
And I have to say, so I was going through some of his old stuff, and I was watching.
Yeah.
I just rewatched his "Smells Like Teen Spirit," you know, which is actually quite funny. I mean, it's it's perfectly encapsulates the early '90s when it came out, like that kind of Naked Gun humor, you know. It was it was good. So
probably the most exciting news for me coming out of Comic-Con is that Shout Factory is putting out UHF on Blu-ray.
That's right.
That's about time.
Which is really great. So
my mop.
So that's great.
Is that the first movie role for Michael Richards?
I don't know. I mean, that came out in what, 89, so it was right around the time Seinfeld started. I think it was just
before. I think.
Yeah, Seinfeld in 91 or so. But
was it really 91 that started?
I think I did.
Seinfeld started in 89.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
90, are you sure? Oh, yeah, because it ran for nine seasons. You're right. It ran for nine seasons.
And then UHF was 89 too. So I guess So the same year. So I guess he filmed Seinfeld the year before, or filmed UHF the year before.
It was a perfect storm of Michael Richards.
and then the storm became imperfect in recent years.
Yeah. Did you know that he was on a, I just read that like he was on a show with Kirstie Alley and Rhea Perlman on like the TV Guide Network or something?
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Kirstie.
Kirstie got canceled. I never heard of it.
Oh, wow.
He was on, I guess.
Kirstie Alley, Eric Peterson, Michael Richards, and Rhea Perlman. Wow. That's actually a good cast.
Yeah. Michael Richards, I don't know if it was the first thing he did, but he was on a show called Fridays that was on right around the same time as the original Saturday Night Live crew. That's where Andy Kaufman had his big kind of blow-up. Well, one of his many TV blow-ups. I think Michael Richards may even have been in that famous sketch.
Yeah, that one was fixed for sure. So.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, that's good, UHF Blu-ray, excellent.
It's good stuff. Very quick, one more thing, because I'd heard about this show. I finally saw it. It's on Amazon Prime Instant. It's called Nathan For You. Have you heard of the show?
Nope.
But it's a Comedy Central show. There's a comedian. His name is Nathan Fielder. And I guess he's kind of playing himself, but he's basically presenting himself as, I think he says he's a graduate of one of Canada's top business schools, and he graduated with very good grades. And he goes around, and it's sort of a fake, it's kind of a reality show, but where I think many people don't know it's a reality show. He's going around as a business consultant, helping struggling businesses by giving them terrible ideas that they almost always implement, and it's very funny. But there was one where he goes to a gas station that's having trouble, and he has them, he says his idea is to lower the price of the gas to $1.75 a gallon, but only with rebate. And to claim the rebate, the people have to hike to the top of a mountain. It's like a 2-hour hike. it's so funny. It's really funny. I mean,
what's it called?
It's called Nathan for You.
Nathan for You.
It's pretty fun. I mean, I think it may not be for everyone. I think that kind of style of, you know, maybe not everyone's in on the joke may not be for everyone, but it's pretty fun.
Very good.
All right, that's me.
Yeah, all right.
Finally.
Let's see. I haven't seen anything recently, so I think the last one was the insanity of Transformers, but we've already talked about that enough. I will tell you this, that we are on episode 3 of season 1 of Breaking Bad, so there's that going for us.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so we just started that.
Episode 1 of season 3?
Episode 3 of season 1.
Oh, okay.
Oh, episode... Oh. Okay, so
all right. So they're still cleaning up.
Yeah, probably. That's right. Yep, just cleaning up. So, yeah, a long ways to go. And I rewatched the George Michael It Gets Better episode from Arrested Development season 4 just on a whim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was very funny. That was a very funny episode of television, I will say. And I did pick up a few things that I had missed before. George Michael at one point says, you know, I don't want to put all my ands in one basket. You know, fantastic.
Okay. I recently rewatched season 4.
Oh, yeah.
It again. I mean, it's not all hits, but the story arc works ridiculously well for
me.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy how ambitious it is too. So, all right, and then so the one announcement that a friend of mine emailed it to me, and to me, it's even better than anything that came throughout a Comic-Con, even though the announcements out of Comic-Con were insane, like King Kong movies and Godzilla movies with, like, every single Toho monster, and there's all craziness, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, right, that's coming out already.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
But there was an announcement, there was a press release that a friend alerted to me. BBC has greenlit a series on, I think I've talked about this Viking book series that I love dearly called The Saxon Chronicles. I think I've mentioned in the past. And BBC is greenlighting a treatment of that, which I'm so psyched for. If done well, and I have no reason, you know, BBC usually pulls through with these things, it will be great. So it's going to be based. It's called The Last Kingdom. That's the name of it, and it takes place in post-Romantic Britain as they repel the Danish invasion. It should be
very
awesome.
Good.
So excited. So I always thought it'd be a great HBO show because it'd be insanely bloody the way the books are in. But I think BBC can do a good job of it too, for sure. So that is
well, BBC will do a classy job.
I agreed. So I can't see it being bad at all.
I don't. Yeah, I can't see HBO having actually wanted to do it with Game of Thrones, but yeah, good and classy.
Yes. So I'm excited. That's I'm very, very excited about that. Okay. Less incest. Correct. Less incest. Now this is just extraordinarily violent Saxon on Viking. Devastation. That's what these books are about. So, okay. Moving on. Stuff we got coming up for the site. So, back to you, Daryl. Anything?
I don't know what I have coming out. I hopefully should be getting... I don't know what Albuquerque's... Mailing deal is. Dallas was always a hub, so I got them really quick. But I don't know what the deal is going to be. So, I don't know. I hope that I get the big Werner Herzog collection.
Ooh, nice! All right.
Blu-ray. That was my big choice this week. Which it's 13 discs, I believe, covering everything from Even Dwarves Started Small through My Best Fiend, which is like the I don't even know how to. It's a that is a that group. It's like 15 movies, but that group is like a cornerstone for me. Right. So I really hope I get that.
Right.
But I don't know.
Well,
so,
we're pulling for you over here. We're pulling for
you. 13 movies I'm going to have to watch.
Nice. Eric, you get a chance to watch anything?
It's up on the site now. I did a review of the new Mystery Science Theater set.
That's right.
You know, which, of course I did. I feel like this is probably my, I don't know, 15th, 16th, 17th of these things that I've done.
Are you basically, are you the stock reviewer for MST stuff?
Yeah. I have put my flag in the sand.
Yeah.
And I will fight anyone who comes and tries to take it away from me. And the new set has got four more good episodes. The one thing that's kind of weird, and maybe I'm just spoiled because the last few sets have had so many great bonus features that this one is really light on bonus features, which is kind of too bad. But I've heard that whenever a set comes out, they usually announce the titles for the next set like immediately. It's pretty smart. But the next one, apparently, I forget the exact episodes. But they said at Comic-Con there was going to be a Turkey Day themed set. Turkey Day, of course, was the big Thanksgiving marathons they used to run in Comedy Central, like 30-hour Mystery Science Theater marathons that I loved back in the day. Back when there used to be Thanksgiving marathons. Remember the marathons? Did you ever watch like the X-Files marathon?
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a big one. And
a lot of James Bond viewing were those marathons.
James Bond.
Starts. I guess we no longer live in a world of mirror. Everything's on demand. There's no room. Yeah,
everything's
there's no
room marathon.
In this crazy world. That's true. That's absolutely right.
No, I have to say I continue to be soured by like streaming and on demand. Like whenever I have I think I'm already griped about this, but when I do have a craving for a specific movie, it seems like it is not available. You know.
Yeah.
They're dumb movies, but like, hey, Police Academy 2, that should be on streaming. No, you know. They give me other titles to explore that are like
But at the same time, you shouldn't be watching Police Academy 2.
Uh-huh. Okay, I meant Police Academy 3. That's the one.
Okay, well, as long as we're... Is that Citizen on Patrol?
No,
or is that
4.
It's 4.
3
that's
is...
4.
Let's see. 2 is their first assignment.
2's the Bobcat Goldthwait one,
right.
The first one. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the one that
he's
I
a criminal.
As a kid.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. I basically...
And the third one, he comes as a police recruit for some reason, but
right.
We'll take it.
Because Police Academy...
Yeah, because Police Academy. And, like, the big finale is a jet ski race that is just in, like, a circle for no reason. But, again, because Police Academy. So, I don't know. That's it. I guess I just wanted to watch Police Academy 3, and it was not available for me to watch. So, physical media will not die anytime soon. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of that, the last couple of days, I've been rewatching Community, the fifth season of Community.
Yeah.
And I just want, on Donald Glover's last episode, his next to last episode, where he's talking about when he gets the notion that he's going to sail around the world and leave the show.
Yeah.
Part of it surrounds that Pierce, who gave him the money, has had, by the time he was Troy's age, been fired from 12 jobs. And Troy, sadly... admits to only having seen 2 Police Academy movies, the last two. and it's an excellent delivery. So anyway,
I can't wait for that DVD set. I'm sure it's going to be DVD. I can't imagine they're going to start putting Community out on Blu-ray with season 5.
That's right.
Yeah, because why bother putting something out on the format that you put everything else out on?
Sure. It is. Why it's Sony. It's Sony too. So
yeah.
Anyway.
That's true. Let's see. So stuff for me. Run down the list. So yeah, Noah is up there. That was probably the big one where I espoused my love for Noah. But again,
it's an excellent review.
Yeah, Daryl and I have kind of beaten this dead horse. This horse. I don't know. I won't say beat the dead horse, but
it's not a dead horse. It's an excellent. It's an excellent alive horse
stallion.
That deserves more beating.
It's a stallion that needs to be beaten. I gotcha. Let's see. So what else? So we got Cedar Cove season 1, the first Hallmark original TV series starring Andy McDowell. The best I can say is it's the Hallmarkiest thing ever made. And that's what I'll say there. Something called Dragon Wolf, which is a not quite as awesome as the title sounds, but kind of a run-of-the-mill martial arts movie. And The Suspect, which I will give a thumbs up to. This is a Korean action film about a North Korean top agent who defects, and all hell breaks loose, essentially. It's a little too long, but it is a legit action movie with some great action set pieces, and it's definitely worth checking out. I think you know, just as far as if you're into that kind of big burly action film. So, The Suspect, I would give that a recommendation. All right,
more or less than Raid 2.
Oh no, Raid 2 definitely is number 1 for sure.
Okay.
Have you seen that yet? You have not gotten
around to it yet. Not yet. I've not had the pleasure.
I mean, the Raid 2 is singular. It's a singular experience.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting down with that. But I want the right time.
Yes. You gotta do that. So, all right. So I think we'll skip the upcoming releases. I think our buddy Michael has been straight out with his summer acting gigs, so I don't think that's been refreshed quite yet. So let's just enter into the final phase here and run through some ambush topics, gentlemen. Eric, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Talking with your hands.
That's an interesting topic. All right. Well, just because it's easy and I'm lazy, in a couple of episodes, or in one episode of Season 5 of Community, Abed is becomes smitten with a deaf girl, who it's not even a plot point, really. It's just something to keep Abed in the mix, but he talks to this woman and says honestly terrible things like I just roasted a mollusk or something like that. He just says dumb things to her, pretending like he knows sign language, so that for whatever reason Abed has.
Since we were talking, they came together, and the state alum, how about the state sketch with the international signs for whatnot? Remember the international, the kabuki dance and the, pretty good, very, pretty effective sketch. Yes, with a nice little ending. So poorly described by me just now, but if you don't have the state DVD set, you need to have that anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I hated the state when it was on. I don't know that I would like it. I might like it if I watched it now, but I hated it when it was on.
Wow. Between that and your mild disregard for Wet Hot American Summer, I don't know, maybe it's just not your bag.
Well, yeah. It's I don't think it's that. I think it's that I saw all of that stuff at an age where I was super artsy. And so kind of like dumb childish humor was anathema to me, and of course, and today that is paramount for me.
So they got you,
that's
you,
a whole lot different than like 15 years ago. So, and I know a lot of these people now, like Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler and all of this, you know, that I didn't. These were all unknown quantities to me when Wet Hot American Summer came out. So maybe it's that.
Granted,
but. Golly, I hated that show when it was out. Who broadcast the state? Was it MTV?
It was Music Television.
It was
yes.
Okay. I thought so. Maybe
I mean last. That's. I mean, don't hold that against them, though.
No, it's not that.
MTV also broadcast Human Giant, which is an amazing sketch show.
I never saw that.
As with Aziz Ansari, Rob Hubel, and Paul Scheer.
Really.
All went on to this is before they got.
When was that? When did that occur?
That was like mid-2000s.
Wow,
not so long ago.
Yeah, I'm out of touch. Anyway, so it goes. Yeah. I love Aziz Ansari though.
Yeah, it's great. So yes, that's not my answer, of course, for my own topic. But so I was inspired by this a while ago. This has been sitting in my Google Doc for probably about a month. When I watched the first season of Rome, there's a guy who basically just announces stuff. You know what I mean, Dave?
I guess. No. A character who announces something?
It's a character who basically just, his job in Roman society is to make the proclamations and decorations,
sure.
Stand in a corner. And he does this thing with his hand where he's constantly swinging it and holding up certain fingers, and I assume it all ties back to very specific, aspects of Roman culture, but he is talking with his hands.
He was talking with his hands, that crazy guy.
That Roman.
That Roman.
So.
All right, very good. Daryl, what do you got?
All right, we're going to keep it relevant to my life.
Yes.
The big move, moving.
Moving.
I'll go with I think it was the climax of Toy Story. When they're trying to get, wasn't they trying to get the toys and the box and the truck? They were moving, right? And it's been a while since I've seen Toy Story. I remember, Woody helping Buzz and the dragging on the edge of the car and the thing. Right? Am I wrong?
It sounds right.
Toy Story, all three, there's only three of them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so all three of them seem to deal sort of with moving. I mean, three definitely deals with, like, moving to the, whatever, the daycare or whatever. So, you know, sure. Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Moving. I don't want to go with the obvious one, which is, of course, the Saved by the Bell episode where Zach seduces the homeless girl, so we won't go with that.
The obvious choice.
Sorry, they end up moving into the Morrises, weirdly enough.
Very that's odd. The obvious choice for every Aperstock.
It really is.
You use it all the time.
It's a good one. That's true.
That would also work for talking with your hands. So.
That's right. Let's see. I have these flashing visions of, I'm trying to think of, like, big trucks overloaded with stuff. I'm trying to think of what scenes have those been in, you know, like too much stuff in a moving truck. And then they all fall. You know what? I'm going to go with. Now, speaking of, this is what it is. It's Police Academy 3. That's right. Police Academy 3. Fackler. That's the guy's name, I think. He tries to stop his wife from joining the police academy. And she's got, like, all this move. You know, she's got all of her stuff on the station wagon. And there's this weird scene where. Really weird. Man, those movies are kind of odd. But, like, she's driving to the police academy, and he's, like, on the hood of her car trying to stop her, and she drives all the way to the police academy with him on her hood for some reason.
Well, it's funny about that. In, I don't know if it's 3 or if it's 4. I think it's 4. But the same scene happens with Bobcat Goldthwait on the hood of his wife's car, and she doesn't want him to join the force.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember. So. I mean, it's been a long time.
Bobcat Goldthwait had a wife in that film? That's
I believe so. It's been a long, long time since I've watched that movie, but I believe that's the case.
Yeah, another reason why I need to buy the DVD so I can revisit number 4. Like, at post-Steven Guttenberg, obviously everything goes straight down the toilet. But
I think the whole world post-Steve Guttenberg.
Correct.
Went that's down correct. The toilet.
How come he never got a TV show or something?
Yeah, but, I mean, you wouldn't watch a show called Guten?
Guten. That's right.
he came back in later years in, you know, obviously in Veronica Mars, although.
Oh, was he in Veronica Mars?
Yeah, and then he was in an episode of Party Down, Rob Thomas's later show, as himself.
That's right.
That was a good show, too. Anyway.
All right, good.
I have two. One that I had because it was super easy and I didn't really want to think about it very much, and then one that I thought of on the way. So the one, the easy one is the really poor 1988 or 89 Richard Pryor vehicle Moving, which features Richard Pryor moving to Idaho, which is a hilarious concept, but a terrible movie. does feature Randy Quaid, so there's that. But then the other one that came up in my head here a couple seconds ago was the start of the second season of Arrested Development, in which Michael and George Michael were moving to Phoenix. Michael wanted to hide the fact they were moving to Phoenix because he was mad. Right. And George Michael kept telling them, because he's George Michael, that they were moving to Phoenix.
That's right. That's right.
They didn't move to Phoenix.
They did not.
They stayed in the O.C.
The O.C.
Don't call it that.
Or they stayed at Bleep Mountain.
They did stay Sudden Valley.
Okay, I will go next. I don't know. I'm looking at an item in my house, so we're going to go with cell phones. Unique cell phone use. How about that?
Unique cell phone use.
All right, I'm going to go back to I believe it's the first season of Community. And I don't remember what's actually going on when the thing happens. But Jillian Jacobs, as Britta Perry, pulls out her phone, and it is a Totorola, and it catches on fire. But she's okay because they come in packs of 5.
Oh, very nice. Very good.
All right, well, I will go. I will see your first season of Community and go with a third season of Community. Was that the episode? I think it was the third season when Omar from The Wire is their biology teacher.
That's correct, yes.
And, and Jeff's cell phone goes off in class and gets kicked out. And then I think later, Starburns uses his cell phone to grow a marijuana plant. Or a potato. I know there's marijuana involved.
Or crystal meth. Yes.
One of them.
It's Starburns.
Well, mine could have applied to product placement, but I think we just – I felt like we just did that. And then also – this also gives me an excuse to mention that I felt personally that 24 was glorious this go-around, these 12 episodes. The last few episodes I really, really enjoyed more than I thought I would. And I thought that the craziness that Jack Bauer descended into at the end was quite interesting and quite fun. And we had someone get whacked, and so that was my little 24 thought. But had one of the all-time great, those last couple of episodes, one of the all-time great product placements, which we love 24 for. And it has some of the greatest product placements. This one had to do with a phone, because Sprint was a sponsor for 24, if you didn't know. And so the president is talking on the phone with the Chinese, premier or prime minister or whatever, right? And the close-up is on the Sprint phone, and he dials them up, and you see a little HD symbol on the screen. And the Chinese prime minister says, Mr. President, can you hear me? And William Devane says, loud and clear.
Terrible.
There's a lot of just great.
That's shameless. That is just shameless.
Awesome. It was so excellent. That's when I knew that I was in for a treat with this season of 24. loud, and he was so happy. He was just so smart. Loud and clear, buddy. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's it. So, that cell phone used as some of the greatest product placement ever.
On that product placement end, to go back to Arrested Development real fast, I will always love when Carl Weathers pitches the Scandal Makers to Tobias in the Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great restaurant. It's a great restaurant. You can get free refills at this place.
That's right.
Any drink. It's really brilliant stuff. Anyway.
It absolutely is. All right. Well, on that Carl Weathers note, I guess we will wrap this up. So... that's it from the Friday Filibuster. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com. In lieu of Mac, Daryl, give me a Noah soundbite now.
That's a nice rainbow.